بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، I've been asked to speak about Allah's straight path, its meaning, importance, and destination. And when I received that wonderful fact listing all the titles that I was supposed to speak about, and the first thing that came to my mind when seeing this title is that Allah's straight path, or the straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, this is something that we are told to ask for in every rak'ah of every prayer. So it seemed to me that this is something that every Muslim should have already thought about, every Muslim should have already looked into and understood exactly what is that straight path. So the first thing that occurred to me really is that there's no need for this lecture. I guess I could end right there, but probably the organizers will not let me do that, so I will continue. Hopefully in this lecture, inshallah, I will remind us of some aspects concerning the straight path that inshallah will be beneficial to us, and perhaps also come up with some points that we have not thought about before with respect to Allah's straight path. I think the best place to start to discuss the straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, is actually going directly to Surah Al-Fatiha and the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. In the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, we can find lots of definitions and lots of descriptions of what the straight path is. And in fact, Ibn Abi Hatim in his tafsir records a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that states that the straight path is the book of Allah. Unfortunately, this hadith is not authentic. However, most likely this has been a statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib and also Ibn Mas'ud, that the book of Allah is the straight path, or is Allah's straight path. Ibn Abi Hatim also refers to another lengthy hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which is also recorded in Musnad Ahmad, in which the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a similitude for you of the straight path, and this path he has defined it as Islam. However, that's not specifically or specific reference to Sirat al-Mustaqim of Surah al-Fatiha. We can also find a narration with the Hazm chain from Abu al-Aliya that states that the straight path is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his two companions after him. In other words, the straight path is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr and Umar. When al-Hasan al-Basri was asked about this statement, he said that Abu al-Aliya has told the truth and he has advised well. Actually, if you go, as I said, to the books of tafsir, you will find many narrations and many statements defining what the straight path is. Although, unfortunately, most of them are based on weak narrations, there are quite a few which are authentic. However, the conclusion, I think, has been aptly summed up by Ibn Kathir in his tafsir, in which he said that all of these statements are correct. And in other words, the meaning, not necessarily the narration and the description, but the meaning of all of these statements are correct, and they imply one another. For whoever follows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and takes after the example of the two after him, Abu Bakr and Umar, then he is following the truth. And whoever is following the truth is following Islam. And whoever is following Islam is following the Quran, and that is the Book of Allah and His straight path. So all of these statements are correct, and they all verify one another. And in other words, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha to guide us to the straight path, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the path of the Quran, to the path of Islam, to the way of the truth, to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to the way of his foremost companions. And in that is, we are asking for the true path, the correct path, the path that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and which He has approved of for His servants. In other words, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that path, which is the path of the correct worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the path for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to follow in the first place. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have created not jinn and mankind except to worship and serve me. And we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that path that is the path of the true and the correct worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's with respect to the definition of the straight path. It is the path of Islam, it is the path of the Quran, it is the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the path of his companions. However, there are some characteristics also that we should keep in mind about this straight path itself. And some of these characteristics we can talk about, or we can recognize them simply even from how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this path as as-sirat al-mustaqim. First of all, with respect to as-sirat, as-sirat in the Arabic language, it means a tariq, or as some say, a tariq al-wadih, yani the clear path. And it also gives the impression of being straight and level, such that the one who passes over it can pass over it quickly. And in other words, when you call something a tariq, and you are implying that it is something very easy for the people or for the person who wants to follow it, and it is a quick path or a quick road that will lead him to his destination. And in fact, there are three readings of Sirat, which I guess when I was first taught Surah Al-Fatiha, I wish I knew that, because they were trying to get me to pronounce the Sad correctly. But it's Sirat or Sirat or Azrat. So I could have told them, no, I'm following one or the other, Iqraat. But at that time, of course, I did not know. But Sirat, for example, implies something swallowed. This comes from the same root, implying something swallowed or gulped. And it's something that you take down into your throat very quickly. And this is the root of as-sirat. It comes from the same root. And it implies, again, as when you swallow something, you swallow it down a specific place, and it goes down quickly, and it goes down within the limits of that place. Also, as-sirat, it has its limits, and also it is something that is very easy for one to follow quickly. Well, another aspect of as-sirat that we can understand, again, simply by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing it as as-sirat, is, as I said, it is a well-defined straight path that takes the person to the place that he wants to go to. And he takes the person to the place that he wants to go to in a quick or in the quickest fashion. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Qur'an, when talking about his path, and the path and the way that leads to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word as-sirat. However, when talking about the other ways, and that people may follow, and the ways that are led by a shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never uses the word asrat for the paths of a shaitan, but uses the word subul. As for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمَ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الصُّبُلْ فَتَفَرَقُوا بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. And this is my straight path, so follow it, and do not follow the other ways, subul as opposed to sirat. And in this verse, that will take you away from his way. So this is, again, just from the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing his path as a sirat, and we can get many aspects or understand many things from that. And to continue this, Ibn al-Qayyim wrote that you will not call a path, you will not call a tariq sirat, unless it has five characteristics. The first one is the straightness, and it is not crooked, it is not taking away from the goal that you want to reach. Secondly, it takes you to your destination. Thirdly, is the characteristic of proximity or closeness, and it is the closest and most direct way to your destination. Fourthly, it is wide enough and comprehensive enough to carry or have room for everyone who wishes to follow that path. And finally, it is something specific, it is a road or way specific for that path and for that goal. And Ibn Qayyim continues that there's no question that As-Sirat al-Mustaqim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path, meets this definition or has those five characteristics. And it is the straightest way, the closest way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is al-Mustaqim, it is straight. And as he pointed out, the shortest distance between any two points is a straight line. And obviously also, as Ibn al-Qayyim points out, that this path will take us to our goal if we want to. In other words, if our goal is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, this sirat, this path, this way will take us to our goal. And then also he points out, as we'll talk about later, that since there is a reference also in Surah Al-Fatiha to other ways, that are ways that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the ways of the Baaleen also, this implies that this is the specific and the correct way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha to guide us to the straight path, to guide us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to a path that leads directly to our goal of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. And by definition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that there are no curves, no bends, and we don't have to go out of our way to reach our destination and to reach our goal. But from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the path or the way to Him a straight path, a clear path, a path which is easy and quick to follow for those who want to follow that path. And this might also be a reference to the fact that this path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a path or it is a way which is consistent with our fitrah or our nature. And it does not require anything from us to change completely the way that we are in order for us to follow this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in fact it is consistent with our nature, and it will take us directly to our goal of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. Of course, this is if we have the intention and we have the desire to reach the end of that path and to follow that path. And if we don't have that desire, if we don't have that intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if that desire or intention is not very strong in our hearts, then this can be a very long path and it can be a very difficult path. And it will try to give some kind of example, a similitude. And if someone wanted to travel from Toronto to New York, don't know why anyone would want to leave beautiful Toronto for New York, but suppose someone wanted to leave Toronto to go to New York. See how I try to make the people happy with me? Or Montreal, beautiful Montreal to New York, since I know there's quite a few from Montreal here too. And the way to go from Toronto to New York, there are some very clear, direct, and easy ways to get there. If you wanted to fly, for example, you could easily fly directly from Toronto to New York. There's probably many flights a day. So there's a straight path, there's an easy way, there's a quick way to get there. But if your desire to reach New York and the importance of reaching New York isn't that strong in your heart, and you decide that on the way you want to see Disneyland and Disney World and the Eiffel Tower, and you can make that road very long and very crooked, such that unfortunately you never even reach your goal of New York. And you can make it so difficult and so long that you will never even reach your destination of New York, that you will be sidetracked in so many other things that you will end up perhaps dying along the way and not reaching your goal of New York. But if in your heart, and if the most important thing to you is getting to New York, then there's a way to get to New York which is very easy, very quick, and which will, inshallah, get you there easily and quickly. Similarly, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described His path as as-sirat and as-sirat al-mustaqim, and this is showing us that if actually someone wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down for him a path which, as I said, is consistent with his fitrah, which is a clear path that has room for him to follow, no difficulty for him to follow if he wants to follow it, and it will get him to his destination in the best way possible. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, has given us this fitrah, and which makes this straight path easy for us, and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described in the hadith also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us furthermore by having angels, or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it, Allah's admissioner and the believer and every heart's believer. In the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that I alluded to earlier, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has drawn a simile. It is a straight path with walls on both sides. Both walls have open doors with curtains hanging on them. At the entrance to the path is the caller saying, "O people, come along this path, all of you, and do not swerve." And it is a straight path, and the caller says, "Come along it and do not be deviated from it." And over the end of the path is another caller. When a man wants to enter into any of those doors, he calls out, "Woe unto you, don't open that door, you'll be lured into it and become obstinate." So the Prophet ﷺ said that this path is Islam, and the walls are the lines delineating the lawful declared by Allah from the unlawful, and the open doors are prohibitions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the caller at the entrance of the path is Allah's book, and he's calling you to follow that path. And the one calling out at the end of the path is Allah's admissioner, and the wa'ad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the heart of every Muslim. So, in addition to making this path consistent with our fitrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us here, has given in every heart and admonisher telling us to stay along that straight path and not to stray from it. There's also something else that we have to recognize, and this is something that unfortunately nowadays, I guess in the name of in the name of freedom or democracy or brotherhood or whatever, I mean, there's a point that is sometimes forgotten that we must keep in mind. Sometimes this point is forgotten in the name of Muslim unity and things of that nature. And that is that the straight path, the path leading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one path and one path only. There are not many straight paths. There are not many paths leading to Allah. We are not like some people said, or some people say still. If you talk even to Christians or Buddhists or Hindus, and some Muslims, they'll tell you, oh, all of us, we're all going towards the same goal. We're just each taking different paths. So this, as we can see clearly from the Quran and from the Sunnah, and this is not correct. And there is only one path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the Dawsari wrote in his tafsir, he said, if every path led its companion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why did Allah send messengers and reveal his books to a people who claim, and concerning their idols, وَمَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَارِبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفًا. And these are people who say that they worship their idols only that their idols may bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was this kind of people who claiming that they're trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like these people who worship the cross or these people who worship many idols, all saying that we're all going the same way and going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was these kind of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to and revealed the Quran first and foremost directed to them. And it was these people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought, and that the believers gave up their lives and their wealth to defeat. So obviously, and if all of these different paths lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including these paths like what the mushrikeen of the Arabs had, there would be no reason or no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to reveal the Quran, and for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers to make jihad against these mushrikeen. And it's very strange that in general you can say that it is part of our fitrah. In general, when you talk to people, they know that the truth is one. In almost everything, they know that the truth is one. Like, for example, with respect to whether or not I came to this conference in Toronto or not. The majority of mankind will recognize that either I came or I didn't. And it can't be both. The majority of mankind will accept that. And it's consistent with the fitrah. The two opposites are not going to be both true at the same time. Yet for some reason, or we can perhaps say this is one of the ways that shaitan has overcome some people. And when it comes to deen and religion, they don't believe that. And even you can find this among Muslims when you talk to them about Jews and Christians. Are they kufar or not? Are they disbelievers or not? I say, oh no, they're believers, and they are going to be in Jannah, and the path they're following is the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for example, yani either what the Christians said is true about Jesus, that he's the Son of God or whatever, and depending on which Christian I guess you talk to, either yani what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about them, about Jesus is true, or what the Christians have said is true. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly declares that what the Christians say about Jesus is not true in the Quran. So one of them is the truth and the other one is falsehood. And when we talk about the path leading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that the path leading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be a path of falsehood, but it is the path of truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth, and the truth leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we go to the Quran and we go to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see once again that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very clear that his path, or the path leading to him, is one path. With respect to Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined or made the path something definite, ma'rifah, as opposed to nakira, in more than one way. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it with alif lam, as-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then defines it by idhafa, or ascribing it to certain people. It is the path of those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. And as we look through the Quran, we can see in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, when describing his path or describing the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the singular while describing the ways of falsehood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the plural, like in the verse I already read, وَأَنَّ هَذَا الصِّرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَتَبِعُوا, يعني this is my straight path, so follow it, and do not follow the other paths. And this is because the path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, and that is the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messengers to preach and revealed his books, and this is the only path that will lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people follow other paths thinking that it will lead to him, they will find that those paths in the end will be closed to them, will be shut off to them, and will not lead them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in the Quran, when describing an-nur, also uses the singular for an-nur, and when describing the ways of darkness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses al-dhulamat or plural, and this is in more than one occasion, because the nur or the light comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is just one path, one way, so therefore it is always used in singular, while the ways of falsehood and the ways of darkness, and everyone who comes up with his own way, this is now another new way of darkness and falsehood leading them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the source of nur is one, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while the source of dhulamat or darkness is many, many, and in fact we cannot imagine how many possible sources there are. And it is also clear from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we see in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and exactly what is this path, in the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describing this ummah, saying that this ummah will break up into 73 sects, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that all of them will be in the hellfire except one, and the one that he described is that which is what he and his companions are upon, and in that way, that path that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed and which he taught and was also followed by his companions. This is the correct way. This is the only way, the only true way that will lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now sometimes when you mention that, when you state that fact, then some people get the idea that this means that Islam is very rigid. And it's like you're just making a whole bunch of clones, everybody is going to be exactly alike and they all have to follow the same way and so forth. But as we mentioned with respect to the definition of a sirat, and a sirat implies it is a path which is wide enough for all those who wish to follow it may follow it. And even though people are of different natures, and not everybody is exactly the same and has the same liking, this path and this way that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has room for all of them. Yani in other words, within the confines of the Qur'an and Sunnah, within the confines of the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba, yani there is room for everyone who wishes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wishes to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has been pointed out by many scholars actually, that although the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one way, and it has various aspects to it, that even though we may be different, we may have different aspects to us, different characteristics, and this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wide enough that if someone wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, it is wide enough for many different variations. For example, and there is the basics and the essential aspects of the deen that everyone must follow, and this is true, and there is no room for compromise in these essential aspects of the deen. However, beyond that, there's many means, many ways of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and inshallah getting entrance into Jannah in the hereafter. For example, someone may specialize in getting knowledge and in learning about the deen and passing that on to others. And it is not necessary for everybody. Everybody, in fact, may not be inclined to that kind of action. Doesn't mean that those people who are not inclined to that kind of action are not on a sirat al-mustaqim and will not get into Jannah. But this is one of the ways within this straight path to specialize in ilm and to pass on that ilm, that inshallah this is the path, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described, will lead you to Jannah. Others may be more inclined to a salat, for example, and they get a special feeling from salat, and so therefore they spend more time in salat, they never miss a tahajjud, they make a nawafil, and because of all of this they will go to Jannah. Perhaps somebody else, when it comes to dhikr, is always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making the dhikr that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us in every different circumstance. And so therefore, because of this, he will be led to Jannah. Or ordering good and eradicating evil. Maybe someone, he prays just 5 times a day, he doesn't do much extra, he fasts Ramadan, he doesn't do much extra and so forth. But when it comes to ordering good and eradicating evil, he fulfills his responsibility and he fulfills it on behalf of many others. So perhaps because of that, he will enter into Jannah. And so the path, the straight path, is very wide. And it has room for many, many different kind of characteristics, many, many different actions. Doesn't mean that every Muslim is going to be exactly the same. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this path very wide, so that although it is one path, within that path there are many different ways that inshallah people can reach Jannah. And there will be even some people who will do all of these things that I mentioned. All of them. When it comes to salat, there's no shortcoming in his salat, in nawafil and tahajjud. When it comes to ilm, he is among the ulama. When it comes to ordering good and eradicating evil and making jihad, he is among the leaders in that. Well, inshallah, this one on the Day of Judgment, inshallah, he will enter Jannah through any of the doors of Jannah that he wishes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all among those people, inshallah. However, there is one Of course, one point that needs to be stressed on this matter is that, of course, all of these things have to be within the realm of the Sharia, within the realm of the Quran and Sunnah, for them to be along the straight path. In other words, someone may be inclined to dhikr and making dhikr, but that doesn't mean that he goes on, he makes dhikr like the Darwish, and therefore he'll be on the straight path. And it has to be, even these actions of siyam, salat, ordering good, and eradicating evil, and so forth, they have to be within the confines of the Sharia. As long as they're within the confines of the Sharia, and someone specializes them, or someone likes them and does them a lot, inshallah he is following that path that will lead him to Jannah. The next, and after we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path, the next verse defines and what is that path exactly? It is the path of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us in another place in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, who exactly are those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His blessings upon. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُتِي اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَنْ الَّذِينَ أَنَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنُ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and who obeys Allah and the Messenger, they will be in the company of those on whom Allah has bestowed His grace, of the prophets, and the siddiqeen, those who are foremost in sincerity, the martyrs and the righteous, and how excellent these companions are. So when we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us, to guide us to the straight path, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that path of those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. And as I said elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that therefore we're actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the path of the prophets, the sincere, the shuhada, the martyrs, and the salihin, or the righteous. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in this other verse in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, also tells us how it is we can be among that group, or how it is we can be following that path, and that is by obeying Allah and the Messenger. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us that we are actually following a path that has been followed by many people before us, and we are not alone on this path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that we are not going out on a path, and we are the first ones to go on out on that path, and we are alone on that path. But actually, alhamdulillah, we have many people before us who went along that path. And inshallah, we can learn from their examples. And we can see what they have gone through along that path, and we can expect that perhaps the same thing may happen to us along that path, and we can see from their examples how we should respond to what may afflict us along that path. So this is one of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has shown us in the Quran, that this path is not something that we have to go out alone on it, but in fact there are many people who have gone before us who have and he tread the path before us, and from whose examples we can learn from. Also, this implies, by the way, that this is not an independent path. Many people, they like to blaze their own path. Even when claiming to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they want to make their own path in their own way. This is not correct. Do you think you're the only one who's going to know how to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent actually prophets before us and revealed books to show us the path, and this path that we must follow, as I said, and it is not something that we are trying to create our own path, but it is a path that already exists, and we are trying our best to follow it, inshallah. Now the verse or Surah Al-Fatiha continues. And shows us, and as is so often the case in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and not only do we need to understand what path we want to follow, but we need also to understand what path we don't want to follow. And in the same way, we need to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know who we are worshipping and how to worship. In the same way, we know about shirk and taghut, in order to avoid them and not worship them. So we find a similar case here again. We not only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what path to follow, but we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us away from other paths. And we ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the path of those whom He has blessed, and to keep us away from the path of those who have earned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger and those who have gone astray. Now in this verse, we see actually among mankind there are three kinds of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha has divided mankind into three kinds of people. Those people who are following the straight path, and when we talk about the other two groups, we'll understand also more about what that means, what that implies. A second group of people are those who have earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they know the truth, but they refuse to follow it. And for whatever reason, they recognize the truth and they refuse to follow it. And the people who most meet that description, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned and described them, are the Jews. And the second group of people are those who have gone astray. In other words, those people who act without knowledge. And more than that, they don't care that they're acting without knowledge. And this is something, if you come from a Christian background, and when I first read the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describing Baalin, mentioning the Christians, and because you will note, you may note, and again, Christians of course are many different varieties, so it's kind of hard to generalize. But many times when you get in discussion with some Christians, they get to the point that what they're following is wrong, and they cannot explain it. They cannot give you any reason for what they're following, and you get them to the point of admitting that there's no way that what they're following is true, but then they simply don't care. They like it, they're going to follow it. And this is something you'll find a lot if you really discuss with Christians and really get into heated arguments with them. I mean, really get into the discussion of what their deen is all about. You'll find this to be often the case, that they cannot justify their ways, but at the same time they're insisting on following their ways. So what this implies with respect to those people who are following the straight path, it means that they are the people who have knowledge and they're following that knowledge. And it means they are the people who have knowledge, as opposed to like the Christians, and they not only have that knowledge, but they are accepting and submitting to it and following that knowledge, as opposed to the Jews or those who have earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or when we take the straight path seriously. This means that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and show us to that path that will give us the knowledge of what is true and also give us the ability or the intention to follow what is true. And this implies that every one of us should have the desire and the intention to know and to find out what is true. And in addition to that, we should have the intention and desire to follow what is true. And any time we find ourselves getting to a point, on any issue where, related to the deen, on any issue where we get to the point where, that we say to ourselves, for example, oh, I don't really care what is true or not, I'll just follow anyway, any opinion, any madhab or whatever. This is a bad sign for our iman. When we get to that point. Truth is in order to follow it. So these are two very important characteristics that we must keep in mind if we want to continue to follow the straight path. And also we see, and this is another topic, but I'll just mention it briefly here, is that we can see from Surah Al-Fatiha is that we believers, and we who want to be along the straight path, the path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should have no desire whatsoever to follow or be like those people who have strayed from this path. And this is something, should be something obvious, but sometimes in practice it doesn't become that clear. And we who want to be along the straight path, we should have no desire whatsoever to be following the ways or imitating the ways of those people who have strayed from this path. In other words, we should have no desire, for example, to be like the Jews and Christians whatsoever. There should be no feeling in our hearts to follow them and imitate them in any way, because there are people who are clearly left this path. So either you want to follow this path or you want to follow their path. And this is why the concept of al-wala wal-bara is something so essential and something so basic to this deen. Because in fact, either you're going to follow this path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either you want to follow that path or you want to follow all of those other paths that lead away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there's a number of other points that we could make about this straight path. I don't know how much, 5 minutes, all right. One aspect about this straight path is that we have to realize that it is the greatest, being getting the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being guided to this straight path, this is the greatest blessing that we could ever attain. And of course, being guided to the straight path means iman and the deeds that are consistent with this straight path. And this is the greatest blessing that we could ever get. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it in Surah Al-Fatiha, Umm al-Kitab has ordered us to recite it and ask for it in every rak'ah of every prayer. And if you could get this blessing is worth much more than anything in this dunya. And if this dunya is not worth anything in comparison to being having this blessing of being along the straight path. And again, as I said at the beginning, I mean, this is things that every one of us should know, but maybe just sometimes we need a reminder. And because it's very easy, especially nowadays, it's very easy to start chasing after this dunya and forget and start to forget wherein in fact is your real good and wherein in fact is what is really best for you. Because you have to realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this dunya to anyone, even kafir. And in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is this dunya worth? In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this dunya to those people whom He loves and those people whom He doesn't love. But He only gives the deen to those whom He loves. And this is the true and the greatest ni'mah or the greatest blessing that we could ever receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore achieving this straight path and staying on this straight path and it is something that we should always keep in mind and put it first in our lives. And everything that we do, every action that we take, and we should do it with the intention that this will help us continue along the straight path. And will keep us along the straight path. And if we get to that point, we'll be like some of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, you know, who used to consider their sleep as a kind of ibadah, as a kind of worship. Because their sleep gave them the strength to help them continue along the straight path. Well, even with respect to this dunya also, even with respect to this dunya, and following this straight path is actually the best even with respect to this dunya. Because by following this straight path you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you the real life. The only life of happiness. The only life which is consistent with your nature. The only life you could have where you're not going to be unhappy all the time. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا إِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِّي رَسُولِي إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. And they respond to Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that thing which gives you your real life. And you're the only ones actually who are living in this life, in this dunya, who have the real life, are the believers. And the disbelievers are like the dead. They're like animals. They have no existence really here. And their life here is a difficult life. And they have ma'ishat al-dhunka, and they have a difficult and hard life in this life and in the hereafter. In the hereafter we know what will be the end of the hereafter. So when we talk about this Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, as being the greatest ni'mah that we can have, and we're not just talking about with respect to the hereafter, where this path leads us directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saves us from the hellfire and the punishment in the hellfire. But also even in this life, yani it is the greatest life, it is the greatest blessing that we can receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let me just make two more points since my time is almost finished. Almost. It's probably finished, but I would say almost finished. Just two points that, as I said, maybe sometimes we don't think about it. One of these points is, as I just said, yani, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the greatest blessing that we could ever receive, yani, to be guided to the straight path. to be shown what is the straight path, and to be given the iman and the ability to follow that straight path. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows that this is the greatest blessing there is and the most important thing there is, has ordered us by His mercy, has ordered us to ask for this in every rak'ah of every prayer. Because we could be negligent and forget about it and forget really wherein lies our true happiness and our true life. However, also by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us in the Quran to ask for this, for being guided to the straight path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing in a way, and subhanallah, in a way that may lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting this blessing for us. We begin by saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een. We begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His beautiful names, His names of mercy and compassion, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And then we ask, and then we tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have the intention, yani, to worship only Him. So we call Him by His most beautiful names, and then we ask Him, yani, by our intention to worship only Him, to guide us to the straight path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy has not only ordered us to make this dua in every rak'ah of every prayer so we do not forget, yani, wherein our true happiness is, and that we continue to ask for it every day, and five times a day, and in every rak'ah of those five times a day, and then, but also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us how to ask for it in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it for us. Again, if we're sincere in our dua, if we make a dua like this, as the Prophet has shown in many different hadith in which the different sahaba made dua in a specific way, and the Prophet said, yani, that this dua certainly will be answered, or a dua like that will certainly be answered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us and shown us to make dua to Him for the most important thing that we can have, and at the same time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown it to us and has ordered us to do it in such a way that even the form that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant it to us. And finally, yani, from Surah Al-Fatiha, we see that being guided to the right path, to the straight path, and this guidance can come only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. And when we do that, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us. But if we think that on our own, yani, we will be guided to or we will find the right path and follow the right path, or if we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking for that, although in our hearts really we don't want it, we don't seek it, we don't desire it, but we desire and seek something else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in our hearts, and He will not grant us that. So let us make sure that our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us to the straight path is a sincere desire, a sincere dua on our part, such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer that dua and guide us to that greatest blessing that we could achieve.
JazakAllah khair. Sheikh Jamal, for this very insightful and inspirational type of speech. Inshallah, we now have approximately 30 minutes to deal with questions and answers. If any of the teachers, of course, wish to ask any questions, they can write it on the slip of paper and have one of the possible one of the children to have to walk here. And of course, any of the brothers wish to ask any questions. We have, particularly some of the brothers, for example, maybe in the back. We do have a microphone back there in which they can come up in order to give forth their questions.
Yes. So my congratulations, Sister Vincent. I want to ask a question about we all worry about celebrating the right path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our daily life. I mean, to practice the deen. But in such an environment as the West or as America, or for Muslims who came from a Christian background or something like this, in an event of such important death, if your mother is Christian and she stays Christian and you can understand, and then your mother dies, and all of a sudden everything goes very bad, and all the family wants you to assist at the ceremony, and that's a Christian ceremony, what do you do according to your word, to the family? So that was it.
It's a fiqh question. I can go on and let me know if I can go. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In a part of the aspects that we see from Surah Al-Fatiha, something you alluded to in your question, and that is, even though the people who read Al-Fatiha in every rak'ah, even though they are believers, and if they still need guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every moment of their life. And even though we are believers, and there are those who recite Al-Fatiha in general, they should be believers obviously, otherwise they wouldn't be coming to Salat and so forth in general. And even though they are believers, they are still asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayah, for guidance, because they need guidance in every moment of their lives. So sometimes things will happen in your life that will be very difficult for you emotionally, or very difficult for you to deal with within the realms of the deen. But inshallah, if you are making this dua properly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you see what is correct and will give you the ability inshallah to follow what is correct. So your exact question was more of a fiqh nature, and I don't know if our monitor here would like me to answer it, or but I'll just give you some advice, and that is that, and anything that has a religious connotation to it, from the Jews or Christians or any other religion, anything that has a religious connotation to it, you must avoid. Anything that does not have a religious connotation, or anything that is clearly approved by the Sharia, this you can do. For example, going to your family, other family members, and consoling them, or what's the word called? Condolences. Yeah, going to them and giving them condolences, and this kind of thing. This is not, there's evidence in the Sharia that this is acceptable. However, as I said, anything which is related to a religious nature must be avoided. So any kind of gathering which they're going to have in the church, in prayer or for the dead body and so forth, even if that prayer is, for example, at the funeral site, which is common among Christians, these should be avoided. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you, He will inshallah make you strong and make you able to follow the Sharia inshallah.
وَلَهَلَيْنَاهُمْ
صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا.
Just a minute.
From what?
that.
No, from what, I mean, from what aspect do you want to...
Well, can you give an explanation on this end? Like, what's the cause of the revelation of Messiah, or what? How should we understand this?
The important aspect of that verse is obviously, yani, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders a people, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us, for example, to do anything in the, to do anything, yani, from the sharia, when we're ordered to do anything, there's two or three approaches that people take. One is that they submit to it and they do it. This is the approach of the true believers. And when they do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them blessings in both this life, and it makes them even stronger along the straight path, and increases their guidance and increases their iman. And this is the proper way for believers. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to go to qital, we should go to, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to go to fighting or make jihad, we go, we have to go. And we go because we know that this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what is correct for us to do. When we do it, when we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases our iman, keeps us firm on the deen, and keeps us along the straight path. If we hesitate, or if we and if we refuse to do it, obviously if we refuse to do it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not, may not bless us, may not help us stay upon the straight path and so forth, because of our own obstinance and our own refusal to follow the path. Allah Alam. Not a question.
Yeah. We have a question here from one of the sisters. It says, if scholars of Islam give you different interpretations of Quran and Hadith, which interpretation should the average Muslim follow so as to stay on the straight path and not deviate to different scholars?
As I alluded to in the lecture, the most important thing is to have the intention and the desire to follow what is the truth. That's the most important thing. However, and it is clear from the Prophet ﷺ, as we'll talk about in one of the later lectures, that, yani, you will not necessarily always find the truth. And because of some shortcoming on your part or some lack of knowledge and so forth, you may not always find the truth. But the important thing is to have the intention to follow what is true. Inshallah, even if you have the intention to follow what is true and you do your best to follow what is true, then you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if the action you did may be wrong. So that's the first point, is that in the face of all of the different opinions or different interpretations of something, the most important thing in your heart should be that you want to follow what is the truth. What is the way of the Qur'an? What is the way of the Prophet ﷺ? What is consistent with the Qur'an and the way of the Prophet ﷺ? And inshallah, if you have that in your heart, then even if you are mistaken, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would still reward you for your deed. And there's no question, for example, that, let's say, like the question of bleeding, having some blood come out whether or not that invalidates the wudu or not. Some of the great scholars said yes, and some of the great scholars said no. Obviously, the correct opinion is one or the other. However, and this doesn't mean that those people had the incorrect opinion that their salat will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they did not make wudu after bleeding. Or if they did, well, if they did, I guess it wouldn't matter. And the point is, they had the intention, inshallah, to follow what is correct, and that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges people. So, you start off with that point, and you do your best to follow what you believe is the truth, what you believe is the correct opinion, and so forth. Now, not everybody has the ability to ascertain and to judge between different opinions and find out what is the correct opinion. Even scholars sometimes, on some points, they don't have that ability. They have to make, they have to follow what other scholars said and make taqleed and so forth. But as I said, and even in the light of that, you follow what has been shown to you to be the strongest opinion, and never, you do your best never to follow an opinion just because it is an easy opinion, or just because that's, you see a lot of people following it, or something of that nature. But you do your best, inshallah, to follow what you believe is the truth, as long as you do that, even if you should follow a wrong opinion, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, yani given certain conditions, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you, inshallah.
As we know, alhamdulillah, we are all Muslims and we are very, you know, people get back and so on, we're reciting Fatiha. And one person, the Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ehdina salat al-mustaqim, that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path. So in order for us to be on the straight path, if there are any special things that we do, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us to be on the straight path. At the contrary, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam says, nobody is going to enter to the paradise by this gate only, but the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us to get the blessing of Allah and His grants, and also to be on the state that if there are any special things or something we do, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our prayers and keep us on the state that.
I did until the end there, and then you can.
Okay. We are reading Fatiha, okay?
Yeah.
Okay? And we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the safe path.
Yeah.
Okay? So, in order Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our prayer, is there anything that we can do, okay, special things? For example, if we make our niyyah to sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us and accept our prayer. Is there anything that we can do to help?
I think that's the topic of another lecture that we'll be covering, the means to stick to the straight path. Inshallah, that will be covered in another lecture. Inshallah, I'm not sure when, where, hopefully someplace in Toronto, I guess. It's Monday morning, inshallah. So that will be covered in a complete lecture, inshallah. Or at least I guess this is the English schedule. So it'll be a lecture in English on Monday morning, inshallah, covering that.
You alluded to the issue of unity and all this means one or many paths. But it's an issue that will always come, that will always come in this society. And I would like if you would, especially with your experience with Dawah here in North America, to tell us that if there are certain points or landmarks in the term of unity to look for if that call to unity is really a good one and should want to join and put some effort into. And on the same, by the same token, if there are landmarks to tell you that well, you have to be aware of that call and maybe try to get something else.
I think the greatest sign or the and I guess the biggest red light you could call it is when you're asked to compromise on some principles that are very clear from the Quran and Sunnah, and when you're asked to ignore some things which are very clear from the Quran and Sunnah and ignore them in the name of unity. This is when you get to the point where you realize that that unity is not the unity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to have. وَعَتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَحُوا. You have to stick together بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. يعني حَبْلِ اللَّهِ is the Quran or the teachings of Islam and so forth. So if you are coming together and they're saying, okay, we're coming together, but at the same time we are expecting you now to ignore some principles of the deen, some clear aspects of the deen, then this means that this is not the kind of unity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to have. So that is the major sign, and that as soon as you see that you're being asked to compromise something which is clear from the Quran and Sunnah, and it's clear from the Quran and Sunnah, something there's no question about, not a matter of ijtihad, something of that nature, but something clear from the text of the Quran and Sunnah, then immediately you know that this is not the kind of unity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to have, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not ask us to be united and at the same time give up part of our deen. And we are working for our deen first, and if anyone wants to work with us, that's fine. And we're working for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen first. We're not working for unity in the name of unity first and the deen comes second. That's wrong. And we have to work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen first, and if anybody wants to come along and join us and then we get that also, that other goal or that blessing of unity, then that's fine. So in other words, unity has to come after the requirement of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying the Quran, the Sunnah and so forth.